I like the idea of being able to go somewhere and nobody recognise me.
Aches, Dublin-born muralist and graffiti artist, a leading figure in Ireland's street art scene, known for his distinctive use of colour theory and digital motifs. With murals spanning from Dublin to New York, his work brings a contemporary edge to traditional graffiti.
Any artist rule you love to break and why?
An artist rule? There isn't any rules. Do whatever you want. The hardest part years ago was being good at something that's illegal. The level of anxiety that I always have that my career is just going to end. The combat is painting. When I'm painting, I don't think of anything really.
You're a man I look at online who's just absolutely and utterly blowing up.
I think some people are in the right place at the right time. Most of the artists that I encountered who weren't great thought their art was amazing. There's no room for them to grow if they already think their work is amazing. I could be painting a wall and not step away from the wall for 12 hours.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest on today on Find Your Edge. An unbelievable artist, and not the first artist to have here, but definitely someone I'm very excited to talk to today. Aches, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, John.
I feel very honoured to have you in here because you're a man I look at online who's just absolutely and utterly blowing up. Every time I look at you, you're creating another unbelievable piece of art. And I'm very interested in hearing about the origins of how you've gotten to where you've got, but also the connections into social media and everything else like that. So I'm excited for a big chat with you today.
Thanks.
Are you ready?
Yeah, good to go.
Firstly, how would you describe yourself? Because you're much more than, and don't get me wrong when I say an artist is an amazing thing to be, but you're much bigger than that. How do you describe yourself?
I just describe myself as an artist because, you know, you can get put in a lot of brackets like street artist or graffiti artist, where I think just artist covers all bases, you know?
And that's you in a nutshell. Yeah. I was joking, you got in ahead of me. Keeps it simple. I mean, how did your passion for artistry and art in general and creative magic, where did that start?
Just as a kid, I drew every day. And it was mainly just like copying Pokemon cards or Yu-Gi-Oh cards or any cartoons. I watched Dragon Ball Z or anything like that. And my dad was an amateur artist, but he never painted anything in my lifetime. But there was old paintings that he'd done in his 20s or 30s hanging up on the wall at home. And he was just super critical of my work in a good way, you know. He never just looked at something and said, oh, that's great. He'd always be like, oh, you could change the perspective of this, you know, which was great to have. And I like continued that on in my own work. You know, I'm always critiquing my work. Sometimes it's not great because you end up not liking a piece straight away and you're always just focusing on the negatives. But I think it's the best way to improve.
Is to be self-critical.
Yeah, highly critical, yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. When did you decide that you wanted to make this your profession and become an artist?
I never really made the decision. It kind of just happened naturally. I was painting graffiti in 2007. That's when I started. And I was in secondary school at the time. And then by the time I finished secondary school, I had no real idea what I wanted to do. And one guy in my class suggested that I do a portfolio course because he was the only one. And I did one alongside him and I got into art college. And when I got to art college, I was thinking, what will I do here that I can get a job out of? And graphic design or visual communications was the number one that you'd probably walk into a job when you're finished. And as soon as I finished that, I realized I didn't want to do it. And I got a job painting murals for a company just doing commercial work. So just that placement was open just when I left college, so it just worked out really naturally. And I knew a lad that was in there. So I was just thinking, oh, lovely, I'll just paint for money for a while. At the time, I was a barman as well, which I loved, but I was like, well, I can't keep this up forever. And then I started working for that company for about 3 years. And then I just started getting too busy with my own stuff. So I left them and I've been on my own since. That was the end of 2018.
That's what I was going to say. So six, seven years, basically.
Yeah.
Out working on your own. And in that period, you've collaborated with huge brands. You've created amazing murals all over the world. Give us probably your top three big projects, both that you've been passionate about everything, that you're most excited about, but larger scale collaborations.
I think the one of the best and biggest was with the Guinness Storehouse. And I ended up working with them for 3 years in a row on three separate projects. And that was actually crazy because it was one of the first big jobs I did on my own, but it also coincided with the very beginning of the lockdown. I remember I was painting in the storehouse on the third day I was in there, there was just hand sanitizer stations everywhere. And then the country closed down and I was in there painting this mural, well, a few murals in there, and the place closed down. and then they didn't know how long it was going to be closed for. But thankfully, they were sound. They kept me on, kept me busy doing the work there, even though they didn't know if they were going to open back up for however long, you know.
Mad.
And then, like, apart from that, like, the jobs that I'd be most excited about are, like, where I'm painting in countries that I haven't been to yet. So, like, last year I was in Hong Kong, and it was around this time last year, actually. And if I hadn't been painting there, I probably never would have chosen to go there on holidays. I'm not really big for holidays. So it's always good that I get to go away and see a new city while I'm painting, doing what I like. And then a third one is probably I painted a hurler down in Cork.
Mm-hmm.
And other than painting, when I was growing up, all I did was play hurling.
This episode of Find Your Edge is brought to you by Hedgehogs vs. Foxes, a video production studio crafting bold, cinematic content for brands in lifestyle, corporate, events, and more. Visit us at hvf.ie to learn more.
So you've answered a couple of questions there. That,
sorry.
No, but you know, in a good way, you've answered them, because when I look at your social media, I see you posting pints of Guinness on a regular. You wear an Irish harp around your neck, and you share videos of hurling all the time, and you're constantly showing the magic of what hurling is. And I'm always intrigued what that connection is, you know, where obviously with the Guinness, that's self-explanatory, but the hurling piece is, it's a unique one for an artist, and you know, to be sharing that. So obviously hurling and Irish heritage, I get the vibe, is something that's important to you.
Yeah, definitely hurling. Like, I grew up playing football and hurling. I stopped playing football when I was about 16, 17, but kept up with the hurling. And just my friend group, they're still out playing, yeah. So I was away in Birmingham there on the weekend, and there was 14 lads I grew up with that I played hurling and football with my whole life. And they all still play football. One or two of them still play the hurling. But yeah, it's just something I grew up with that I loved doing. And then when we weren't having matches or training, we'd be walking around with our hurls and a slitter, just poking around in the field all the time. You know, sometimes we play a bit of soccer, like, but it was mainly just poking the ball.
Yeah, you're very much an Irish man, and like your art, when I look at it, it's like something that I've just never seen before. But when I get to hear you talk and see what you create there, like, obviously you're a very proud Irish person. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I'd be proud of being Irish. Yeah,
yeah. It's not a bad thing.
No, it's, yeah, absolutely not.
See, when you're creating these amazing pieces, how do you know, the very last spray, that it's complete?
I'm very, like, methodic. What's the word? Methodical? Is that the word? Yeah, I suppose. But I'm creating the work on a computer, and then I'm just recreating it with spray paint. So as soon as it aligns with what the photo looks like, then I'm done.
You can walk away.
I mean, and I work, like, one colour to the next, so I'm not going back and forth. I finish a section, move on to the next section. And, like, you kind of have to do that if you're on a lift as well, because you could be painting a 10-storey building and you don't want to be moving around constantly. So
once you're done, you don't go back, you don't want to touch it up, you're happy and you can walk away. That's confidence.
Yeah, and then I look back at it a week later, I'm shy, I could have done that or this, you know what I mean? But that's what it was. Like, you kind of get, like, tunnel vision after a while, and you can't see the mistakes there and then. And then you look at a photo of it later on. But I'm sure that's the same with every artist.
I would imagine so. I mean, so when you're working in an art, doing art every day and creating every day, it obviously requires, you know, patience, imagination, creativity, and whole loads of different pieces. Is there anything that you do to help, you know, keep yourself patient, keep yourself calm, and stay focused? Would you put it down to one particular thing, or is it just the way your mindset is at this stage?
I think it's definitely just a mindset thing. I don't particularly think of how I work or try and structure it in a way, but I do definitely procrastinate a lot. But when I am working, I go into a zone of focus. And that will last for hours and hours, and I could be painting a wall and not step away from the wall for 12 hours. I won't eat or drink, and then the next day I'd sit around doing nothing all day, you know?
So your work kind of ebbs and flows, your energy ebbs and flows, and you just lean into that when it starts, that creative, but you just don't let anything get in the way?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then when I have the time off, I'll take a break, like, because of being burnt out so many times, because, you know, I go from one mural to the next, literally, like, fly from one country to the next, painting that large scale mural, and it's just constant focus.
Do you suffer with creative block in that instance, where you're, you know, just taking on too much and you just can't, you're commercially, you're working, you're painting, you're doing your stuff, but to actually create pieces, do you find that hard?
Yeah, it is quite tough now. I remember before I started kind of doing the style that I'm working on, I was always actively trying to develop a style that I could use and rely on. And now that I have it, I find that I'd like to evolve on from that. But because I've been so busy, I haven't had time to experiment because, you know, I'm working on commissions where the people who are commissioning me are expecting one type of work that I can't just show up and paint something completely new that they haven't seen. So I have to develop that and create a portfolio of that in my own time. And I haven't got that time yet.
Mm-hmm. Is it difficult when you're, you know, a commercial art, you have to make your money. It's something that you enjoy doing. It involves creativity. Do you find it conflicting sometimes to create something, even though you want to create something slightly different, but there's a project and that there's a brief essentially there? Is that hard, or is it just a case that it's business? I can do that once I get to do my other side of creative stuff as well.
It was hard, but now that I've gotten a lot more confident in what I do, I only take on projects that I align with completely, and to have briefs that are a bit loose and allow me to explore in any way I want. Obviously, they'll have something, a general idea of what they'd want, but mainly they're quite open to what I do. Like the last job I did, I just did for Pulis, and I sent them the first draft, and they just said, yeah, absolutely, we'd love to go ahead with that. And there was no tweaks, none. And that was pretty much an open brief.
How do you find inspiration for your artwork? Is it like your own personal experiences? Is it if someone asks you to come and look at a project, are you inspired by the landscape or the people, or is it just?
It really depends on the type of job I'm doing. So when I'm traveling, I like to paint figurative work or portraiture, and I usually get there a day beforehand, and I'll walk around and take photos of people that live in the area, and usually just paint one of them. I like to paint someone that connects with the area, that's not famous, that everyone that lives in that area can relate to, just an everyday person, and paint them. And I think like the people generally like that as well. And I think there's already too many murals of celebrities.
Agreed. Do you feel like you've got a special gift?
No. It's, as I said, I drew every day. Like it was constant. I mean, every single day. I remember being in bed drawing, like falling asleep drawing.
So do you think you've put in the 10,000 hours it takes for perfection?
I'd say easily, but I don't think I've got perfection yet.
That's spoken like a true artist. Is there anyone aside from your dad that has been a big influence on you and has been a big support for you to pursue this career where it's, you know, slightly different than to the traditional route of?
Yeah, well, my mother as well, obviously, but my girlfriend has been very supportive. We've been together for 16 years, so she was there at the very start of when I was painting graffiti, you know, and she's always been super supportive because, you know, you travel a lot, like it's quite tough. Mm-hmm. And she's always been very, very supportive. I've painted her quite a lot as well. And other than that, professionally or with peers, it would be definitely Macer. He's just a super inspiring character. And, you know, he helps out the younger generation of artists a lot. As I said, I've got a studio space that he got for me. It's in the city centre, and it's just so good to have a large studio space in the city centre.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I didn't think I'd have anytime soon. You know, I was working in a shed out my mum's back garden for a long time. So it's great to have a larger space.
So Ireland has opened up, I think anyway, in its views of art. It's gone from being street art and graffiti to, you know, we're opening our eyes to a bigger picture of what that creative world we have there. Do you think that that landscape has changed dramatically in your, you know, few years of painting?
Absolutely, yeah. When I started painting in 2007, if you had a can of spray paint in your hand, no matter what you were painting, could have been the Mona Lisa on the side of a building, you'd get someone giving out to you. But now, when I'm painting in the street, I'm painting just graffiti letters like a tag. People are so complimentary. They just love it. But I think it's down to just even media, you know, it's all over TV and everything, even backgrounds of fashion shoots, everything. There's graffiti everywhere. Obviously, some people still don't like it, and that's fair enough. Like, I respect their opinions, but to me, I just love it. Obviously, I have a biased opinion. But it's great to see that people are more open to it. And then as well, like, throughout the years, these kind of street art festivals have popped up around every major city in the world. And you'll see like top muralists flying in from all around the world to one city and painting 10 murals in a city, maybe. And they're like, I mean, the top echelons of mural artists. Mm-hmm. So I think people see that and then they tend to respect it more.
Yeah. And I mean, like some Acer and some other artists have been trailblazers, I guess, and opened the doors and floodgates for more amazing artists coming through. And it's one thing I notice about, I'm very fortunate to be able to dab into that community a little bit. Albeit that I've no experience as an artist, I can tell you it's good to be able to see, just get an insight into what you guys are like. And one thing that I always notice is how supportive artists are of other artists, and you know, creating beside each other versus other industries where you'd be conflicting or not wanting someone to see your work. You tend to share. Is that normal? Is that just an Irish thing? Is that?
I definitely think the graffiti scene in Ireland is a lot more friendly than other cities. But as in general, as artists, I think it's just because it's so tough to be an artist professionally full time. So people are just willing to help each other. But as you said, like, in Ireland, maybe they might just be a bit more friendly. I think that's just the nature of Irish people.
Big time. You created a piece recently called The Irrational Fear of Impending Doom.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the feeling behind that painting?
That is just like a level of anxiety that I always have that my career is just going to end and dry up. And just like, I don't know, it's just this fear that I have. And it's just like an anxiety about everything all the time. I don't know when this started, but I'm quite an anxious person in the last probably 5-6 years. Before that, I think it's probably actually because now I'm doing it professionally and I rely on it for everything. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was kind of just like, I just go with the flow. But now it's kind of like, oh, I have to have a job on next month, you know?
How do you combat that anxiety?
I don't think. I just live with it.
Well, that's combating it. Combating,
I suppose, yeah.
If you're not combating it, you're not sitting here and you're not creating new pieces. So you're doing something, maybe unbeknownst to yourself. When you're in your flow state with your work and you're creating and you're painting, is that anxiety there?
No. That's actually a good point. Yeah, I suppose the combat is painting. When I'm painting, I don't think of anything really. You know, I'm just thinking of what I'm doing, and that's like the most free my brain is ever going to be. I overthink quite a lot. So when I'm painting, just throw on some music and paint away.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people would say that, you know, anxiety and fear in general can freeze us and stop us in our tracks. But like action, in my opinion, and from my experience of speaking with all sorts of professionals, action is the only way to overcome that, because we all have that fear.
Yeah.
Do you think at any stage in your career that fear could have stopped you in your tracks completely? I know when you were younger, you were footloose and fancy free and you didn't really care about it as much. You weren't as dependent. But do you think it ever got to a stage where you could have decided to get into, you know, an office as a graphic designer or whatever else and not gone down, pursued this route that you're on?
No, I don't think so, because I think the thought of that working in an office would give me more anxiety than the fear of work showing up, you know. But I always do joke about going back to be a barman, just because I think back to those days and it's like, you go into work and you know exactly what you're doing every day, all day, and you're good at it. But now it's like, you know, day to day, every day is different. And some days you don't know what you're doing, or you're trying to come up with a design and you just can't, and it's a waste of a day. And you're thinking, now I have less time to design it.
Mm.
And it gets tougher and tougher. But I mean, you get through it. Like,
It's different if you're laying blocks or pulling points or doing something like that, but like, it's hard to force creativity. So
yeah, exactly.
Do you think just having those days where nothing happens is an important part of the creative process, that you just have to have those days where you have a blank day? Is that part of it?
Probably, yeah. It puts a lot of pressure on me, and I definitely work far better under pressure. So, I mean, I'd rather not that wasn't the case, but that's just how it works for me.
Exactly. Do you have daily habits or routines that help you keep you at your best, you know, physically, mentally? Are you a fan of any level of meditation or fitness stuff? Do you find it works for you?
Well, I go to the gym. I try to go 2-3 times a week. I haven't been this week because I just got back from a heavy weekend away. So I've just been trying to ease myself back into reality. But yeah, that, and then just hanging around with friends and hanging around with girlfriends, like just
good people.
Yeah, just socializing with people that I enjoy hanging out with.
In your opinion, what separates those? I'm sure you've seen great artists who've made it and great artists who've not made it. What separates and what's the difference?
You know, I think a huge factor comes down to luck. I think some people are in the right place at the right time. I've seen so many incredible artists who haven't made it, and some artists who would be quite questionable who have. And I think maybe it just comes down to, as I said, right place, right time, or who you know. I think there's definitely like a level of networking in the art world that I'm just not comfortable with doing. I'd rather just paint than be trying to email people and make connections. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, for me, it's just, I couldn't keep on top of that, you know, trying to just talk to people and do stuff.
Yeah, well, I think there's a level of, you know, if you're a little bit anonymous and all that sort of, it's, you know, that people want you more anyway. So I feel like from the outside looking in, you're playing that game very well. You might not want to do it, but it makes you feel a little bit like you're not that accessible in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. That's, well, I do like that. I like the idea of being able to go somewhere and nobody recognize me and just keep to myself. Yeah.
You have a huge social media presence and a very beautifully curated Instagram and your TikTok, obviously, as well, and probably other channels that I'm not aware of. And that's been a huge part of your growth. And obviously, it's a visual. It means people want to look at you. They want to see what you're doing. So it's amazing. But how do you deal with your social media stuff, everything from the negativity, the comments and the stuff like that comes in on social media as well? Is that, because your work is such a personal, creative thing, is that something that you find difficult to deal with, those comments, or is it not something you have an issue with?
Not at all. I hear worse things from my friends on a weekly basis, so it doesn't bother me at all. I actually love just trolls. So if someone comments on my work and it's negative, I'll just take the piss out of them. And it's just
a great attitude. So negative criticism is not something that you ever have to deal with, because you think from an early age your dad was kind of giving you constructive criticism, and you're open to it, and that's huge. So what are some of the biggest obstacles that you've faced on your journey to where you are today, aside from?
I suppose, like, starting off is, the hardest part years ago was being good at something that's illegal. It was quite tough. There was just a weird thing to be involved with a subculture that's illegal and frowned upon, and be good at it and enjoy it. Weird. But then other than that, it's traveling. I find traveling quite stressful. If I'm like getting off a plane from one country, spending a day or two in Dublin and then flying back out, and it's more so the trying to like maintain my own personal life on top of work, just like, you know, doing house chores or whatever, you know.
Give me that, being good at something that's illegal. Is that what you said?
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of forget. So it was actually literally illegal, so to say, to spray paint or to do any level of tagging or anything like that. Has that changed?
No. Like, I mean, I'm talking about just pure graffiti based. Like, when I started, I don't really do that anymore at all. So, but when I started, it was quite challenging. Like, that, have that in your head the whole time. But no, it hasn't changed. I mean, just like if you're talking about graffiti going out and tagging your name, it's still illegal. Usually what I'm painting now is legal, or at least on a space that people think is legal.
Yeah. We only ever see on Instagram the beautifully curated pieces and the, you know, the beautiful physique of the person who's trained for years and they look great on that day. We don't see the failures. What sort of failures have you overcome in your life, or has there ever been a time where you've had to scrap the paper up and throw it out and go, I can't do this?
Well, if there's a bad painting and it's in the studio, you just paint over it. So there's plenty of them. Or like a sketchbook is full of showy drawings that you're never going to show anyone. But mainly every mural that I paint or post. But I when I'm painting them, I'm really focused. I've got the design on my phone, as I said. I know exactly what that's going to look like. But yeah, in the studio, there's been plenty of paintings that I either haven't finished or I've painted over. But it'd mainly be paintings that I haven't finished, because I get halfway through and I just don't like them anymore. And they'd be failures, so then just scrap them.
Do you learn from those failures?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's, that really comes down to the design phase more so than the painting. Mm-hmm. But like, I realized that the design just wasn't good enough and that I shouldn't have started painting.
So you're self-critical in your assessment of your work as it's going along. You think that's one of your, is that like your secret weapon in some ways, that you are that critical of your work? Or is every artist like that? Because I know Mace is similar.
I'd say most artists who get to a certain level would be highly critical of their work. I've noticed the trend throughout the years. Like, most of the artists that I encountered who weren't great thought their art was amazing. You know what I mean? So there's no room for them to grow if they already think their work is amazing. But I think definitely it's something that every artist should be, is highly critical of their own work. And also, like, show your friends, like people who you trust, who have a good eye, and that will tell you the truth and not be a yes man. Like, I always try and give my friends critiques, and if I do like their work, I'll genuinely tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what advice would you give to younger artists coming through? Because you're now a seasoned, mature artist in that world. Well, you are, you know. And what advice are you giving to the young guys coming through now, who are maybe a couple of years younger than you, or want, you know, they're sitting at home sketching still on their sketchbook as it before or after school?
I'd just say paint every day or draw every day. I often see, like, people use them, not so much anymore, but like ask, oh, how do you do this on social media or whatever? And it's like, I don't know, like, all I do is paint and post, and that's it. Like, you know, I don't have any sort of structure or secrets to it, but you're only going to get better if you paint every day. And I'd say, like, try and develop a style that's unique to you. Don't try and replicate anyone else. Be unique and put the work in.
You've a great mindset for it. I love your grafter, and that's, you know, it's lovely to see that you're working hard has brought you success, versus, like you said, some people are just lucky, right place, right time. So you've got a good growth mindset. And, like, what would you say at the moment success means to you versus when, you know, 10 years ago or 8 years ago before you really kicked off? What is success?
If we're talking just purely general, like, when I think of success and what I want to be, it's just happy with my girlfriend, soon to be wife. We have our house and just living happy. But in terms of art, when I think of a successful artist, I think of an artist who's probably a bit older than me and is having museum shows, like, which is, I mean, it's the top thing an artist can have, is have a show in a big museum. And very few artists have that. So it's realistically, it's probably a level of success that I'll never achieve. But in the field, that's kind of what you'd want, really, I suppose. Or just your life, or your life's work to live on when you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I don't even care about that because I'll be gone anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Are you, because you're a visual man, do you visualize goals? Do you visualize yourself achieving anything, or do you kind of just paint and see what happens?
I would say I probably do, and it's not something that I'd think about a lot, but it'd be more so just like I would think of one thing, like, oh, I want to do this, and then that would just be my main focus for a while, and I'll just try and get it done as best I can. And it usually works out, but I wouldn't be like manifesting anything. I'd rather just be actively doing things.
Yeah, and it's an important part. There's a culture of, we're told to manifest and the magical whatever that is will arrive in front of us. But unfortunately, that missing piece of work that's just not been spoken about. You got to put the head down and still graft towards that goal.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's like, I mean, when I focus on just the one goal, as I said, it usually does work out because I'd say probably 80% of my energy towards that one goal for the time being.
How do you balance work, passion, personal life, future goals? How do you balance it all? Do you find that hard?
Terrible. No, I try my best. Like, it's just, I'm terrible at planning and organizing, like really, really bad, and admin and all that stuff. So like trying to keep on top of things, I find very difficult. And only this year I've started to keep a strict calendar, which is probably something I should have done a long time ago, but it's definitely helping. And I've finally realized how to use the notes app properly on my phone and everything. I just didn't care about any of that stuff in the past. All I just wanted to do was paint. But now I'm trying to put on like the business hat now and focus on it a bit more.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes it's good to ask for help there as well with those things. In my experience, if it's not something that you're strong at or good at, there's someone who's very, very good at it who can do it a lot better and in half the time. Any books, people, or experiences that have had a major impact on your personal growth?
Oh, I wouldn't be one for reading books, to be honest. When I was younger, I used it all the time, but now it's like it takes me. I'd have to read a page 3 times before it goes in. Like, as I said, I'm an overthinker. So as soon as I start reading, I'll just start thinking of something else. But people, again, my girlfriend, just like super supportive. I think that's the best thing you can have in life, is mm-hmm. just a supportive partner. My friends, my friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, again, as I said, Macer, James Early as well. These are guys that, like, when I was starting to focus on my own career, that if I went to them for advice, they would give me heaps and wouldn't want anything in return. They'd have so much time for you. So, yeah, they're great to have around.
What big projects are you working on at the moment that we should look out for?
I just finished a big one in Beaulieu's. I painted a mural on the factory floor in there. I painted a mural of Rashida Adeleke out in Tallaght, in our hometown. And then I've got a few jobs lined up that are mainly street art festivals in Denmark, Greece, Italy. And then I've a meeting tomorrow, but I can't say anything.
Oh, I'd love that one. Can't wait to hear what that's going to be about. And if people want to access your work or buy your work, do you do, you do, you've done prints before, correct me if I'm wrong.
I do self-release prints, but I usually do, I've only done three in the past 5 years, but now I'm trying to do it yearly. So I actually am dropping one in the next week or two. Right. That's not what this podcast was set up for.
Well, no, but it's exactly what this podcast is about as well, is that people will want to access your work and see it. And the, I love the print model that you, you know, it's an, a way to make art a little bit more accessible for people, maybe from a price point of view.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a big print collector myself, although I haven't collected any in a while, but like I've got tons of prints hanging up in my house, and it's great. Like when my friends come in, like the first compliment they get, it's like, oh, look, the art in the house. Now they might just be saying that because that's the field I'm in, but it's just artists who I've collected over the years who I really like. And I think like it's crazy, you know, I go to a lot of people's houses and there's no art hanging on the wall, or maybe one or two, and it's kind of like maybe a piece that was bought in IKEA or something. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking there's so many good Irish artists that are selling work at cheap as well, not cheap, but like affordable work. And yeah, I think it's just so overlooked in Ireland. It's crazy. Or maybe it's just, maybe it's not part of the culture, or like people have their interests in other like places. But I think it's something that it makes a home, I think. Obviously, I've got a biased opinion of that.
Well, no, when I talk with Macer, he's the same. I'd send him, we moved into a new house, and I send him pictures of the walls, and he's like, this painting here, like you guys have an amazing interiors, way of looking at interiors as well, and like making the art piece center obviously to a room, and it's amazing what that does. And the prints thing is huge. I in COVID started finding out more, I bought a lot, too many prints.
Yeah, same. They're all in the drawer at the minute as well.
Well, I just was looking upstairs in the gym, there's tubes of prints, and I've got a beautiful piece I actually got, one of yours as well. And that's why the prints, I just think, are deadly, because I can afford prints. I can't afford the big key pieces, but at the same time, I feel like I've got a, you know, Macer piece, a Peter Doyle piece, an Aches piece. I've got all of these beautiful art pieces that they've all got special meanings. So we have 20 quick-fire questions
here
for you.
Here we go, my best here.
Yeah, and listen, I haven't got to see the quick-fire questions, so I'm going to be equally as shocked as you are. So if you weren't an artist, what would you be doing?
Oh, Jesus, a barman still, probably.
If you could do an exhibition anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
Tokyo. It's just number one destination I want to go.
Have you been yet?
No.
Okay, anyone from Tokyo, they had that?
Yeah.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up?
Try to go back to sleep.
What's the weirdest DM you've ever received from a fan?
Oh, I get a lot of people getting on to me asking me to paint their wife.
Paint their wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with any artist, living or dead, who would it be?
Jack B. Yeats.
Oh, wow. If your art was a piece of fruit, what would it be and why?
An orange, because it's, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know that one either. Your all-time favorite painting or artwork?
Well, I just said Jack B. Yeats. So I really like the Liffey Swim that's hanging back up in the National Gallery. Yeah, I like a lot of abstract work as well, though, which isn't, I don't know, quick four, I can't think. But I'll say, Liffey Swim.
Would you go to galleries and look at the Moes and the Manets and all of that stuff still and draw inspiration from that, or just appreciate it for what it is?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I really, really love figurative painting and portraiture painting, especially from like artists like John Singer Sargent, where it looks like a complete photo, and then you walk a bit close and it's just, you can see the very broad brush strokes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I love that as well.
I'd love to be doing that, to be honest.
Can you create that type of art as well?
I paint with oils, but I don't have the patience for it. It takes too long.
Maybe you just need another decade under your belt.
Maybe, yeah.
what is one thing you can't live without? You can't say your girlfriend.
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk, love it. The most ridiculous thing you've ever used is a paintbrush.
What? Is that a question? Oh, well, the most ridiculous thing I've used as a paintbrush, definitely a twig. I remember going to NCID that make you use whatever like you found on the ground.
Brilliant. Your favourite tool to use, example, paintbrush, spray can, or calligraphy?
Spray paint, definitely. most versatile thing you can use to paint.
If you could swap art styles with any other artist for a day, who would it be?
Rothko.
Rothko.
Be easy.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Married at First Sight.
If you could switch lives with any fictional character, who would it be?
Spider-Man.
Okay. Any artist rule you love to break and why?
An artist rule? There isn't any rules. Do whatever you want.
And what's your most ridiculous talent or party trick? This is the last question, so take your time.
I can make my thumb like a clover. I used to be able to jump out of one leg like loop together, you know?
Can't no way. That is impressive. That is impressive. We definitely saved the best question to last. Thankfully, we've no more quickfire questions. That's just putting you on the spot. I was just making sure that was all 20. And then again, just for anyone who wants to look you up, Instagram is just at
Aikstub. Yeah, Aikstub. Yeah, yeah.
And that's the best. And your TikTok, what's your TikTok?
Same. Set. Aikstub, yeah.
And have you a website?
I do, yeah. It's www.aikstub.ie. A-C-H-E-S.
Brilliant. And can you say when your prints are going to drop? Approximately?
It'll probably be towards the end of next week.
Which will be towards the 20 and 20 something, end of, after Paddy's Day, the end of that week.
It's pretty much the same week I dropped them last year.
Okay, brilliant. And if for people who want to get that onto your website.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amazing. Listen, absolute pleasure to have you on. And I've definitely enjoyed the conversation. I know that you're a man who doesn't share your time too often in this, and in rightly so. So I really appreciate your time. And
thanks,
I really am looking forward to seeing more of your work.
Appreciate it.
And we'll chat to you again soon.
Yeah, fair enough. That was cool, Craig. Thanks.
Thank you.